Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tim
I just want to tell my listeners not to try to call in on this show because it's pre-recorded. So we're gonna broadcast this at 10 o'clock tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. And Sian, I know you've been doing a lot of articles lately, and some of the articles have been reflective of what the United States mainstream media is telling us about Syria. You want to clarify some of this for my listeners?
For the last 5 years, you know, since the Syrian conflict erupted in March 2011, I mean, it's just been an onslaught of misinformation, as far as I'm concerned, you know, by the Western news media, you know, trying to present Syria in a completely distorted way, that somehow the government of Syria, which is an elected government, is a tyrannical regime that's repressing its people, and that the West is involved with promoting democracy in that country. I mean, that's the Western kind of a narrative, but it's just a travesty of what is going on in Syria. I mean, some of your listeners probably already know this, but the West has really joined in with certain regional powers like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Qatar to overthrow the Syrian government. And they've done this by fueling a covert regime change war, you know, using mercenaries from all over the world, jihadis, so-called jihadis, to destabilize that country. Now, the latest kind of episode of misinformation is to do with sieges that have been imposed on many towns across Syria. Towns and villages are under siege. Now, the Western mainstream media would portray the sieges as being the result of the Syrian government's policy to strangle the town and to force kind of a submission by what the West would call rebels. But the information that I've got and is out there very reliably in the alternative information world is that these towns in Syria are it's the complete opposite of what the West is Western mainstream media is telling the readers and listeners. The sieges are being imposed by the foreign-backed mercenaries who are holding whole towns and villages under siege. They're holding civilians as human shields. That is thwarting the Syrian army from making advances to liberate these towns. And that's been proven by the people who have been released from these towns. Tim, you know, the people who have been finally let out of these siege situations have only told anybody who's willing to listen, that's not the Western mainstream media, but anybody who's willing to listen, the people have testified that they were subjected to nightmare siege situation where these sort of mercenaries were imposing a reign of terror on them, depriving them of food, executing them, raping women, young girls. This has been proven by the testimony of the people released from these siege situations. Now, the Western media is not reporting any of that. What they would have their listeners, readers, and viewers believe is that the Syrian government is imposing a starvation policy, a siege on these towns to make the so-called rebels surrender.
Right. This is just another phase of the proxy war that the United States is trying to run in so many other different countries.
Well, I will say the Western mainstream media has just become out and out like a propaganda arm of the political projects of their governments. You know, Washington, London, Paris. Their project, their political project, is to destabilize the Syrian government and to portray the Syrian authorities as being tyrannical and despotic. And the Western mainstream media is really just functioning as a propaganda service to back up that kind of narrative. And it's been, as I say, it's really shown to be a travesty when you look at this episode of the siege towns. I mean, why these towns are suddenly being liberated is because, you know, the Russian military went in there at the end of September and have really been you're blazing a campaign against these foreign mercenaries, cutting their supply routes off from Turkey, their weapons and their oil smuggling, and that has really put the mercenaries under pressure. You know, logistically, they're having to capitulate because they've been cut off from a lot of their supply lines. Now that's why the sieges now are gathering momentum. You know, there's a series of towns that have been liberated or are in the process of being liberated, and that's not because the Western you know, heroes in the form of these so-called rebels are you know, just giving up randomly. It's because the Russian military with the Syrian army are really putting pressure on these mercenaries, and they're forcing them to surrender. Now, the Western media are then distorting with a new spin that somehow the rebels that they would like to romantically claim to be rebels instead of mercenaries. The Western media is claiming that, you know, they're giving up because the Syrian government has got this brutal starvation policy. It's just you know, a total distortion of what's really happening in Syria, and that's just an epitome of the last 5 years of what has been happening in Syria.
It's the same thing, you know. They got away with it in Libya, and now they think they're going to get away with it in Syria, and Russia put the brakes on it.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like to me, that Russia didn't want what happened in Libya to happen in Syria.
Yeah.
Because Libya become nothing but an armed outpost for Salafi rebels and all sorts of despotic, tyrannical fundamentalist militia groups.
Mm. Well, back in 2011, whenever the Western powers, London, Paris, and Washington in particular, were pushing to intervene militarily in Libya, they made all these great promises that, look, once we intervene and we get rid of Gaddafi, everything will be hunky-dory in Libya, there will be democracy blossoming and all the rest of it. Well, I mean, it's just turned out to be, as you mentioned there, Tim, it just turned out to be an unmitigated disaster, which were, you know, jihadi extremism has been, you know, unleashed, and you've got the refugees funneling through Libya or onto the Mediterranean. The whole place has just been turned into absolute bedlam by the Western powers intervening militarily, illegally, we might add, causing regime change and working with jihadi groups that they claim to be fighting terrorism, you know, fighting against in a war of terror. So, you know, the Western credentials, credibility is absolutely in minus figures when it comes to, you know, promising anything about some sort of progressive change in these countries. They've destroyed Libya, and they were in the process of completely destroying Syria. And it was only because of the Russian military intervention that's been turned around, that this destruction of Syria has been, you know, Syria has been kind of pulled back from the brink, and hopefully it will, you know, get the upper hand against this foreign-backed war of regime change that's been going on in the country.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers a lot of Americans, and what's scaring a lot of Americans, is this Erdogan guy in Turkey. It's so. What people have been saying is that his family has been benefiting from oil received from ISIS, and that they've been dealing with ISIS and supplying them weapons for oil,
mm-hmm.
and that the United States gave the go-ahead for Erdogan to shoot down that Russian airplane. And a lot of people are worried because under Section 5 of the NATO Charter, an attack on a NATO ally is an attack on all NATO allies. And people are worried in the United States that Erdogan in Turkey, because of his designs on the northern parts of Syria, is going to get us into a war. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a very valid concern, Tim, indeed. I mean, I think this Erdogan, President Erdogan, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, Ottoman ambition to reinvent the former glories of Turkey under the Ottoman Empire, and he wants to destabilize Syria, put in a regime in Syria that would align with his interests. I mean, he comes from the Muslim Brotherhood. It's kind of a Salafist form of Sunni Islam, which is very much it's close to the Wahhabi, the Saudi extreme version of Sunni Islam. So the Muslim Brotherhood, the Saudis, they've got this very extreme right-wing, I would say distorted view of Islam, but they share a kind of a political vision, which is, to get rid of, governments like the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, which is, he comes from an Alawite form of Islam, which is aligned with Shiism, which is, the dominant form in Iran. So the Turkey, Saudi, for their own kind of twisted religious kind of theocratic views, want to get rid of all regimes that they consider to be, illegitimate, like the Syrian government. And but as you said, they're playing with fire. And it would, there are then legal, logistical kind of connections with NATO that could drag these other NATO powers into a bigger war involving Russia and you name it. So Turkey's regime, like the Saudi regime, is a very dangerous loose cannon in an already volatile, part of the world. And it's extremely reckless and dangerous as to what these countries could instigate, in their own kind of rivalry with regional countries like Syria and Iran.
Yeah, let's talk about Qatar and Saudi Arabia. I mean, the United States is back in Saudi Arabia. It's supposed to be our great ally. And meanwhile, they've cut off more heads than anybody in ISIS. I mean, they cut off like 200 heads a year.
Yeah.
I mean, and the mainstream media doesn't report on that.
Tim, it is really astounding, the double think, the double standards, the hypocrisy. It's so outrageous. And the Western media very much minimize it. I mean, they do report on, anomalies. Again, the New York Times, Guardian, BBC, the British American mainstream will report now and again, highlight some anomalies like the between the Western relations towards with Saudi Arabia, but really it's minimal, because it's a way minimal to what should be highlighted. As you say, like their human rights record is just unbelievable, chopping heads off. Like, 2 weeks ago, they executed the Shia cleric, Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, a Saudi Shia cleric. And he was well respected throughout the world for his advocacy of human rights and, progressive democratic rights in Saudi Arabia. He was non-violent. I mean, he never once publicly, associated himself with a violent program. The Saudis executed him there 2 weeks ago, and along with 46 other people. Now, a lot of those people that were killed were, allegedly Al Qaeda members. But the way they, mass execution of 47 people by beheading, then their corpses were, hung up in public display. I saw that in a news item today, Tim, that Saudis hadn't actually released that executed Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr's corpse yet to his family for proper burial. I mean, we're talking about a really feudal, backward, barbaric regime, and the Washington and London are full in there as allies, of course, because they had massive weapons sales every year. The Americans last year made about $20 billion in military sales to the Saudi regime, $20 billion. I mean, I did a little calculation for an article, and that amounts to about 12% of total US global sales. So the Saudi market is huge for the US, and it's huge for the British as well. It just comes down to really, you know, grubby money interests. I mean, they've got a lot of profits to be made out of that regime. So the West says nothing. It's more to it than that. I mean, you know, strategically, there's the oil, the petrodollar system, also the Saudi and their Persian Gulf monarchies are the bulwark against democracy breaking out in that region. Because if democracy broke out in that region, then, you know, Western corporations wouldn't be able to exploit the populations as they can do under these oppressive regimes. So, you know, the Saudi barbarity might seem like an anomaly to Western pretensions of democracy and Western pretensions of human rights, but only if we believe those pretensions to be real and genuine. I mean, you know, but their barbaric practice is actually fully consistent with the Western strategic economic interests of predatory exploitation of that part of the world. So there's not really a contradiction. It might seem a contradiction if you assume that the West's pretensions of democracy are genuine and real, but in actually the real world of what motivates Western governments, profits, you know, weapons sales, oil sales, petrodollar system, the Saudis are a very kind of suitable partner. That partnership is leading to all sorts of trouble and danger, as you kind of mentioned earlier on. But but the Western media will not mention hardly anything about that. But the laugh about it is, Tim, is that, you know, we've got the West, Western powers, with the Saudis lecturing the like of Syria. I mean, Syria has got an elected government. Bashar al-Assad was elected 2 years ago in 2014, as he was re-elected as the president. Now, although I mentioned that he comes from the Alawite religious demographic, but the general administration government in Syria is fairly pluralistic. It's comprised of, you know, Sunnis, Shia, Alawite, Christians, you know, various other denominations. So it's a pluralist society, and people have been living together in coexisting peacefully for centuries. Now, for the Saudis to then be pointing the finger at the Syrian government and saying that, you know, you must have a new set of elections, Assad must go, he's an illegitimate ruler. I mean, this is really, it's astounding in its, fatuousness, you know, that these stipulations can be imposed on a fairly democratic, pluralist, elected government of the region by an absolute barbaric dynasty, along with Western support. It's an absolute kind of travesty that is happening. But the
Western, I understand what you're saying. In fact, during the Iraq War, Syria took in refugees. They took in Sunni. They took in Shia.
Sweat shop nations. I say don't wear it down, tear it down, take the wealth, share it round. that way, cause you see there'd be no societies to be found. The rich keep thieving, but they'd have us believing that it's fair that the lion's share go to those who have no need for it. Babies are starving while they're calling brand names in their back, and you wonder why I say China attack. Hell yeah, I'm a socialist. You notice by the way my words flow, this ain't no joke, and every word that I've spoken to show this. Capitalism is a prison of greed. Fuck what they want, I'm interested in what the whole world needs. With a rhythm, with a rhythm, with a noise in your head, with a voice when the pulse ain't no fucking more. This is the sound of it all coming down, of it all coming down. With a left, with a rhythm, with a noise in your head, with a voice when the pulse ain't no fucking more. This is the sound of it all coming down.